There's something you need to know right now that will alter the outcome of this case.
Who's West Allen? I have no idea what you think you're doing.
Explaining what my husband won't.
Hello and welcome back, Central City Underground. We are here with episode number 101, talking about our favorite superhero show, The Flash, season 4, episode 10, The Trial of the Flash. This is Julia, aka the Elfie One.
And this is Jada, aka Story's Voice. This week, it was directed by Phil Chapira. I think I'm saying that right. Phil Chapira this is his first directing effort for The Flash, but he's done 15 episodes for The Flash as assistant director or second unit, so he's familiar with the show. Our writers for this episode were Lauren Certo and Kristen Kim. Now, Lauren Certo has written 5 episodes for The Flash and done 1 teleplay. I was just going through Lauren Certo's filmography, all that she's done, and everything that she's done has been DC. It's wow. Amazing. I guess she's just a super DC fan. She wrote The Freedom Fighters, the new miniseries that's out. Okay. Justice League. She wrote for Justice League Action. She wrote Vixen, the movie that came out. She wrote Vixen, the TV series, and Arrow, the short miniseries. So she's in it to win it for DC.
Excellent.
And our other writer, Kristen Kim, also wrote Girls Night Out along with Lauren Certo. So we've got 2 writers we're familiar with coming back. I think it kind of showed. It didn't feel off. It felt like whoever was writing knew the characters. There might be, a couple nitpicks here and there, but it was good, I think. It was good. So this week, at the trial of Barry Allen, as Barry Allen tries to remain aloof and detached from his trial and circumstance, Team Flash are tasked with finding a way to prove his innocence while battling the latest bus meta. The thinker and the mechanic continue to spin lies into courtroom gold as Iris contemplates going against Barry's wishes. Meanwhile, Dibny shows Joe a dark side to his action and reveals what's in store if he continues down this path. So, the Trial of the Flash. How'd you feel about this?
Well, I had some really mixed opinions about it. It was definitely The Flash's trial, because it was the fastest trial ever. Seriously. All of this happened in a day. And I don't know if it was actually a day, but it seemed like a day, right? Hardly any witnesses there was almost no defense. I have some qualms with the way Cecile works in a courtroom, but we can get to that a little later. But I was not as impressed with this episode as I had hoped to be coming off of that mid-season finale. I gave this 6 award-winning Grieving Widow testimonies.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad now. I had the same qualms as you. Outside of the courtroom drama, the rest was an adequate Flash episode, but the courtroom drama really wasn't any courtroom drama, so it forced me to give it. I gave it a 7.5. Obvious courtroom endings. I was like, come on, what are you guys? You guys aren't even trying. I thought I was being pretty low or mean, and I was like, I guess if 5 is average, then 7 is above average. So I'm being nice, but
Well, I think part of it is that we all kind of knew how it was going to end. And so it just felt like they wanted to get there as quickly as possible. They're not going to spend or waste any time on the story of the trial itself, even though, and now this isn't the same trial, but in the comics, I know that the trial of the Flash, where the Flash was on trial for killing Eobard Thawne, that lasted for 2 years. Now, they could have dragged this out for at least a couple of episodes. I mean, it's a murder trial. Those are not fast trials, We skipped over so much, and I know this isn't a courtroom show, but I don't know. We suspend our disbelief just for so many things. Is it so much to ask for the real world stuff to be a little closer to real world?
Yeah, exactly. It makes the suspension of belief for the other things easier to swallow.
Right. I don't know. So I definitely had a lot of qualms with the courtroom stuff and just the whole way that was handled by almost everybody in the room. And I have some qualms with our semi-villain, non-villain meta as well. So those are our two big plot points that we will get to in a little bit. But before we do that, let's talk about things we did like in our Flash Fave 4. So what was one of the things that you liked the most about this episode?
I have to say this because this was actually my favorite thing about this episode. And of course, I'm referring to the line, the puppies. The puppies are going down because you didn't show up for work. I love that.
Oh, yes. Thank goodness for at least that little bit of comedy in this very dark episode.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of comedy. So that was a well-written piece of comedy. And I think it was, maybe I liked it so much more because there wasn't as much as there normally is. A little bit of light in the darkness was kind of good. What about you? What was your first fave?
My first favorite thing was the teamwork between Barry and Sisko at the end with the vortex that Barry was creating, and then Sisko sending a breach above it for all of that radiation to shoot out into Earth 15. I thought that was a brilliant little piece of teamwork between the two of them.
Yeah, that was great. Teamwork. I like that. Actually, I got a bit to say about that, but that'll be later. It'll be a point later on.
All right. What was your second favorite thing?
My second favorite thing was the fact that we don't even blink an eye anymore when Vibe uses his powers, when Frost just switches back and forth, or when Vibe wears those shoes. Did you see those shoes?
Yeah, I love the two of them getting to use their powers as well. And along with that, in that whole moment when Harry and Sisko just kind of grabbed Killer Frost's jacket to hand to her. Like, come on, we're doing this. This is, put on your uniform now.
Yeah, it was great. They suited up. Yeah, it was awesome.
Absolutely. And they're so ready to spring into action because they're all so confident in their powers now. And even Caitlin learning that she can turn into Killer Frost if she needs to. I love that build of confidence in them.
And I also love that transition. That was great.
Yeah.
When she was Caitlin and then she went through the portal on the other side, she was Frost. I thought that was awesome.
Right? Quick. Very quick.
What about you? What's your second thing?
My second favorite thing was the juxtaposition of the judge and Sing at the end of that episode. All of the rest of my qualms aside, leading to that moment where we were watching Sing praise the Flash and the judge condemn him, That was well written, I thought. I really liked the way that was written and directed. That was probably my favorite scene of the episode.
Yes, that was very good. That was very good. For all the reasons you just said, it. If the court scenes had been written so well.
Yeah. Oh, man. But,
that was beautifully done.
We have a new segment today, don't we?
We do. And I'm really excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So we had a suggestion, right, from a fan on Facebook.
Thank you, Todd.
Yeah. And it's a great suggestion. So we have a little segment that we are calling PowerPoints.
I was thinking I would like a little segment of the show where we just talk about the powers, possibly the good uses, the bad uses, the good portrayals of powers, or whatever we have to say about the powers. A lot of times, that seems to be all we remember of the show. Oh, you remember that big scene when the powers were all popping from everybody and everywhere all at the same time? I like to kind of consolidate powers into this just so we can have a good discussion about powers.
Yeah.
And we can leave, so we can really focus on the rest of the episode outside of the segment. Right.
I mean, the CW spends all that money on special effects, so we might as well dedicate a segment to it.
Absolutely. And they do a good job. I like it.
So what would you like to start with?
One thing about the powers that grabbed me this week was the low-key approach to Lance's slash DeVoe's telepathy. Telepathy is an interesting power, and it's always portrayed in a different light than, like, you know, anyone else. It's always portrayed as overpowered, as well as we know that this is such a powerful thing, we can't really do anything with it. Here, it's just used as kind of like, kind of heard what you were thinking, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm just listening to whispers that's coming from your mind, as opposed to all-powerful telepathy and being misused. I just really like it. It keeps him grounded as a character while giving him a pretty nifty power.
Yeah. And as we may have mentioned before, in the comics, apparently, Barry Allen is immune to the Thinker's telepathy, but he does not seem to be in the TV show.
Right, yeah. Kind of like that.
Yeah. Well, it makes Barry a little more vulnerable to him, you know, just one more hurdle.
And in a weird way, I think it might make sense, because this Thinker is both DeVoe and Lance. So you've got the telepathy of Lance, but you've got the processing power of DeVoe. So maybe that kind of canceled out Barry's immunity to the telepathy. I don't know. I'm just saying. Why not? Why not?
I'm not even sure what to call the Thinker anymore. Is he still the Thinker? Is he Clifford or Dominic now? Nick? Domford?
DeLance?
Devonic? Yeah, you can just call him the Thinker.
Yeah, the Thinker. The Thinker and the Mechanic, yeah. We'll get to those guys. Wow. Anything power related? Any power points that got you this week?
Oh, yes. So, right after that well-placed commercial break, when Iris was about to out Barry as the Flash, Barry sped over to her and vibrated her, as well as himself, fast enough that they were moving at the same speed, but everything around them was not, so that he could have a conversation with her. Now, that is a super cool power, but we've never seen him do it before, which is fine. But she says, "How are you doing this?" And he explains to her how he's doing it. Well, he says what he's doing. She's like, "How?" And he's like, I don't know. And I thought, well, how did you even know this was going to work then? Like, what did you intend to do when you ran over to her and started shaking her violently? Like, what? And also, how does her body withstand that kind of vibration without, I mean, again, like, suspending my disbelief because I have to. But, as cool as that was, it did take me out for a moment to go, but wait a minute.
Now, my reaction to that was different. I thought it was so cool, mm-hmm. that it made me go, oh, this is possibly a good scene after all. because for reasons we'll get into later, ooh, that Iris judge, wait, I've got something to say. Oh, uh-huh. No. But, like I said, that's for later. What I'm calling super pause, or speed pause, excuse me, the speed pause. Okay. I thought of it as much like when Barry was stopping the shrapnel from that grenade. Do you remember that several episodes back? Yeah. It was instinctual. And once or twice this season, he's done instinctual things, which I really love. They just kind of seed that in without making it a big thing or even say anything. He'll just do something instinctually, and his subconscious, I guess, gathers the force or the ability or whatever it takes for him to do that. So I was thinking maybe he just was like, oh no, I can't let this happen. His subconscious taps into the speed force and just kind of like a speed pause bubble.
Okay, yeah, I will buy it if it's a subconscious speed force thing that he learned in the speed force but didn't realize he had learned, maybe.
I only said that because I noticed that the lightning was rotating around them both.
Sure.
You know, normally it's all around him, and he's the one that's fast, and he's the one that's in the speed force and all that. This time it was just around the both of them, of course, as, you know, we are Flash. But anyway.
That's how she withstands that vibration, because she is also the Flash.
oh, yeah, she is. yeah, you're right, though. That was a wonderful scene. I really liked it for that reason, the evolution of his powers.
Yeah.
Now, I actually have another thing that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
What I didn't, I'm not sure what made me think of this, but Vibe's effortless use of his powers.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it. He, the things that he was doing were pretty intense, and he's been doing some pretty intense things effortlessly.
Yeah, he could breach the radiation specifically to Earth 15 without even really thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what we haven't had for a while, I don't think that we've had this season, is a Sisko arc.
Not really. We had a very brief Gypsy thing at the beginning.
Right, right.
With her dad and everything. But yeah, not as a hero specifically or personally, really, other than that. Although I wonder, you know, with Barry going to prison, is this an opportunity for us to see more of those sorts of things with the team outside of that? Maybe getting a little bit of them working together without him, like we didn't get while he was trapped in the Speed Force.
Exactly. That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
I would like to see him develop his powers and possibly even evolve them. I know at some point in the comic, it was like Sisko or Vibe was recognized as being as like one of the most powerful beings in DC.
Sure.
Because, I mean, it's a pretty nifty ability to be right. able to vibrate.
Yeah.
Of any dimension. I wonder if we'll see an evolution of his powers. I was just thinking about that because he struggled with them for so long. And now he's got, like I said, just great mastery of them and doing really big stuff. So hopefully that's on the way.
Yeah. So the other power that I think we have to talk about is our meta of the week.
Oh.
I'm not even going to call them villains of the week anymore because so many of them are not villains. And this guy was sort of a villain in that he had a terrible, great name, terrible power. Fallout, which, you know, this guy didn't do a whole lot for me this episode. His power was being radioactive, and somehow he had no idea that he was radioactive until conveniently, you know, when he's about to get busted by Team Flash. But how could he not see that people fainted everywhere he went? And how, you know, did he never realize that his skin was turning green? And, you know, I just have a lot of questions about this guy. We didn't get much of him at all. I don't even know that we learned his name in the episode. So
does he have a family, or did he have a family, or friends, plants, pets?
Right.
Oh, it's dead. So he didn't realize.
Seriously, because if this is a bus meta, he has been a metahuman since at least that long, right? Unless it just started to manifest, which I guess is possible. Because
okay. Give me that.
This is the first time that many people have fallen ill from this. So, okay, let's assume that the bank that we saw in this episode was the very first time this had happened to him. Still, everybody in the bank collapses around him, and he walks away without noticing. He walked away as if he realized what was happening, you know? So, yeah, which I guess they probably did on purpose so that we would think he was evil, but
you know, what I would have enjoyed more would have been simply a man who was always on his phone. Because so many people are always on their phone, not paying attention to what's going on. It's a valid distraction. And he could have just been on his phone while he's talking to the lady at the bank, not even looking, accepting the money, not paying attention to the people around him on buses and stuff. And it might have been a little more believable.
Absolutely.
When our attention is focused so tightly on our phone, I mean, our peripheral is dead to us. But he wasn't looking or paying attention to anything. He was just stupid.
He was just oblivious. Yeah. You know what? That would have been a great fix. You should be writing for The Flash. That really bothered me. That it just wasn't clear at all. He wasn't a clear character to me. So I felt like he was just there as a plot device and nothing more. But yeah, if this was the first time that it had happened at that bank, it all happened very quickly, because by the end of the episode, he is going nuclear and he's going to blow up the world if they don't stop him.
Yeah, I mean, I have a ton of headcanon that I could write into that, you know, but it's like, wait a second, wasn't that their job? Weren't they supposed to simply explain that to me?
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully he has a use. Did they even say where he went?
Well, they sent him to Tracy's lab.
Oh, that's right. They did say that. So we got to mention Tracy.
That doesn't mean that he's... I mean, I guess that means he's sort of locked up wherever he is, I would hope. Or she's going to be helping him. But yeah, that's another bus meta who's not in Iron Heights, along with Barry Allen. So again, is this part of Doe's plan? Kutnik? Yeah.
Oh, that's gonna stick.
Dumbford.
I still have a hard time understanding how precise Kutnik's plan is. Is it so precise that he used this meta to distract Barry during the trial so that Barry had to leave the trial? Because that's pretty precise.
Yeah, that's but pretty... Barry leaving the trial, I mean, he was always going to be found guilty because there was no defense. So why did he even need to leave to ruin his chances of... I mean, it just... You know all what? Of the evidence pointed to Barry, and he's a really good guy, was basically the only defense that anybody could come up with.
But gee, he's swell.
Golly.
I've got to use that defense from now on. You know what? I think maybe we should just go ahead and jump into it.
Oh, let's do it.
Let's talk about ye olde Trial of the Flash.
Sure. All right.
Oh, I have a question.
Yeah.
Barry really wants to be a good stand-up guy.
He really does.
He does. He does. He won't perjure himself.
Right.
Because lying's wrong.
Right. But he will let Cisco hack into his ankle monitor so that he can just roam around Star Labs in the city willy-nilly.
Because, you know, breaking laws is a lot better than simply lying.
Right.
Which is a breaking of a law, but oh my goodness. Barry Allen, come on.
Yeah. And not only the ankle monitor, but he hacked everything. He wiped video evidence of Barry while he was in the police station after after he was out of the Speed Force. I mean, that's quite a bit of evidence tampering, right?
None of that was done in the name of the greater good. That was those guys just breaking the law.
Right.
Sheesh.
But I had the same question that Dibny did at the beginning of this episode when Barry was at Star Labs. I went, wait a minute, how is he there right now? Why is he not arrested? And then Dibny asked the question that I was asking, which Dibny had quite an episode being the voice of reason all the time.
Yes, that
didn't
was...
Didn't see that coming.
No, not at all. That was surprising. I have another question.
Sure.
I'm full of questions tonight. I don't know. Do we think Barry's playing the long game?
Well, he doesn't seem to be doing much to prevent his going to prison, so yes.
He seems to be actively trying to make sure things go that way.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. He's like maybe too easygoing right now, too accepting of what's going on.
I kind of feel like, okay, given the previous episode, previously on The Flash, now, given the previous episode, it was very organic the way that happened. They resolved the issues. Christmas time, ooh, party, alarm's going off, go home, check it out, you're an idiot, you're framed, come to jail.
Right.
That felt very organic. So I don't think that Barry was aware that any of that was going to happen, and Barry isn't so smart that he has his own plan right now that he's enacting. But it does feel like Barry might have been waiting for a chance to give in to DeVoe, a way that he could let DeVoe's plan start to lay themselves out before he takes action, because right now they're running behind.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he has a real plan.
It's kind of swaying in the wind. All right.
Right? Just see what happens. So we get to the trial, which is already underway, and there is just so much evidence against Barry. And in our last podcast, we talked about the way they could defend against all of this. You know, he got to the crime scene, but there's no blood on Barry. There's no evidence that the crime actually happened there. You know, all the stuff that any, you know, CSI show would go over and pick apart. But now we learn that there was Barry's DNA under DeVoe's fingernails, and Barry's DNA is on the knife, and, you know, all of this evidence against him, which I guess, you know, smart of DeVoe to plant all of that evidence. I still think some of their defense could have been, okay, but if Barry had just killed him, why is there no evidence on Barry that he just killed him, you know?
Yeah.
And even Barry said, you know, I know you're going to find his DNA on me. Like, why would they find his DNA on you?
That's what I didn't understand. There shouldn't have been any DNA at all.
Because he didn't touch the body. He didn't, I mean, unless he is just sure that DeVoe somehow planted his own DNA on Barry. Like, that just didn't make any sense to me. I wished that there had been so much more of a defense on Cecile's part, and any, you know, other witnesses that they could have brought up. Singh was doing an all right job. I was actually pretty surprised at how much Singh seemed to not believe that Barry was guilty. And
really?
Yeah, I mean, because he's been pretty hard on Barry, you know, over the years, and had to, you know, reprimand him for harassing DeVoe. So I just assumed that he would believe that Barry did it. And I really don't think that he does, because he knows what kind of person Barry is.
What got me was when Singh paused, when I can't even remember what the question was, the prosecution asked him something, but he was like, do you really believe that he's such a good guy now or something? And Singh paused, like, I don't know if I do. I said, come on, no, that's not Singh. Singh wouldn't do that. Singh has been riding Barry hard, but there is a relationship there. They know each other. I would dare say they were friends.
Yeah.
And it's a huge leap from, dude, you were just screwing up left and right and get yourself together, to, oh yeah, you killed someone. So that pause kind of felt like a betrayal. But then again, I mean, with all that mounting evidence and Barry just kind of like, yep, I'm right here. Then, I mean, you know, what is he going to do?
Yeah. And I think this was one of the moments I wish that Cecile had objected to the prosecutor's, what was it that he was, he made quite a leap. Oh, it was that Barry had been late to work 72 times.
Right. Oh,
I think it was 72. Oh. And you know, had taken that leave of absence, which, okay, whatever. He took one leave of absence and he was late a whole bunch. That obviously means he is leading a secret life. objection.
But, right?
Come on.
How does that equate murder?
Right? Yeah, that's total speculation. And I really needed Cecile to say something, but she didn't.
You know, I think part of what made those scenes kind of squirmy was that we are just inundated with so many police and procedural and courtroom dramas.
Yeah.
That it just, I don't know. We know how it can go. We've seen on other shows how people can have awesome defenses and, like, it's a great 2-3 minutes of just some really good courtroom drama, and the protagonist still loses, or the good guy doesn't win, you know, whatever happens. We didn't get anything even slightly like that. It really felt lazy, It felt lazy to me.
I mean, Cecile's closing argument was, he's a great guy, he's innocent. Like, that, that was it. It was almost nothing of substance in her defense for him.
No, I feel like they fell flat in that. They could have, with all the witty dialogue and all the very good dialogue, much like that speed pause, it had a couple of really good lines in it.
Sure.
It was very heartfelt. I mean, we know that these writers can come up with some great dialogue. It felt like they didn't even attempt good dialogue, which made me think, are they pushing this? I mean, are they really making it blatant that, why are they doing this? Are they doing this so that it's obvious Barry's going to jail, you guys? Or is it that they're doing this because, you know, I don't know.
I would rather that he had a really good defense. If Cecile's the best lawyer in the city, allegedly, then show us that. Let her be a great lawyer. Let us see the jury sort of waffle a little bit. Let's see in their faces that they're maybe not sure if he did it or not. instead of just beating us over the head with the evidence against him, and we all know he's going to prison, but maybe give us a little bit of hope. This show is usually all about hope, and this episode, maybe that's what it was. It gave me no hope that this could possibly turn out well for him. Not that I expected anything else, but, you know, I certainly didn't expect the entire thing to wrap up in one episode. But maybe that was part of what it was. Now, you're talking about dialogue. I do have to say, when Marlies took the stand, and like I said in my rating, I mean, she should... that woman is an excellent actor.
Because oh my goodness.
She had the whole courtroom in the palm of her hand, and it didn't matter what they threw at her. I mean, even with Dibny and Joe presenting the photo of her kissing Dominic, she had an answer for that immediately. Whether or not she had already thought that out, or if she had thought of it in the moment, like, that was a brilliant defense on her part.
Yeah, her scenes felt like excerpts from another show. They didn't, yeah. It felt incongruous with everything around it. I love them. She worked them for everything. That was great. That was great. That was actually beyond great. Only because I feel those tears were real and everything she said was real. She played them by telling them, well, a large chunk of truth from her soul. Yeah. She was like, no, really, I didn't want him to go. I probably really should have stopped him.
Yeah, I think you're right.
She blames Barry for killing him. She said, you know, you killed my husband, blah, blah. But what she's saying in her mind is this whole circumstance, whatever this is happening, that my husband feels like he needs to do, that's what killed him. And Barry, you're the face of that. That scene felt like it was just separate from all the other courtroom stuff because it was just done so well. She got that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I loved Iris confronting her out in the hallway, telling her to drop the act, which she immediately does. And I thought, are there not any cameras in this courthouse? Also, Iris, you're a journalist. Record this.
Oh my goodness. Sorry, yes.
But no, she didn't.
I was so mad. I thought that exact thought as it was going down. I thought, that's why she went out there. I was like, oh, here we go. Here comes Iris's moment. She's going to record what she's about to say to this woman and be like, look, here's some more evidence. And instead, she lets the mechanic play mind games with her. I mean, Iris isn't some powerful being or anything, but she's not stupid. And she's seen and been through a lot. Mm-hmm. That scene should have went way differently.
Yeah, she's going through a lot right now. She's having a hard time. This was the first time we've seen Iris not be the strong one in a while. You know, she's kind of falling apart a little bit over this.
I mean, and I guess, like I said, she has been through a lot. I guess eventually it will take a toll on someone.
Right? Yeah. So we get to the point where Cecile is trying to convince Barry to take the stand, and he won't do it because he won't lie. Because if he gets up there, he has to pretend like he's not the Flash. He doesn't want to out himself. Cecile thinks that's the only way this is going to save him, and I have to say, it probably would if he came clean and told the entire story. I mean, who knows if all of the jury would believe him or if the judge would believe him, but somebody would believe him, you know? There would be some doubt. He would probably have to prove to everybody that he was the Flash. All he'd have to do is, you know, phase through the desk or something, or zoom around the room a little bit. But he doesn't want to do that, and
well, I
can't really, blame him, I guess.
I have a question. Why is it that he would be lying if he was put on the stand?
Because
I know they explained it, but I forgot.
Well, he wouldn't be able to tell the whole truth because he would have to out himself. I mean, what is he going to say in his defense if not, look, I'm a superhero and this guy is an evil villain. He's not really dead and he's framing me so that he can go on with some super evil villain plan. Like, what other defense would he have?
But who's going to ask him questions about anything hero related?
That's true.
Like, the only questions would be asked, what did you do? I did this, I did this, I did this. I'm Barry Allen, how you doing? No.
That's a fair point. Where were you? I was at Joe's house having Christmas dinner. Yep.
Yeah, because he really is innocent. It's like, wait a minute, yeah, you forgot. He is innocent. Just let him tell the truth.
Yeah. That's a good, that's a good point. See, it's a, again with this trial, I just, oh man.
And I'm sure there's somebody out there right now going, no, no, this is the exact reason. But I've been really trying hard to think of how he could be tripped up. I can't think of it. I can't think of any way that they would even trip him up. I don't know. Yeah. This trial is going to work me up.
I guess the only thing I could think of was if they had to ask why he was actively pursuing DeVoe, harassing him, you know, because he wouldn't have a really good excuse for that other than, you know, he's a cop, but still, that's points against him, breaking into their house and...
You know what, though? You know what's better than murder? A B&E.
That's true.
I'd much rather say that, you know what, I thought this guy was a suspicious person. I was checking into it. I did this wrong and I did that wrong, even though I was told not to, but I didn't kill this guy.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I don't know. It's written the way it's written, I guess. Done is done.
Yep.
Little BA's behind bars. All right. You know, I kind of wish his identity was revealed.
We might be heading in that direction.
I hope so.
Eventually. Hope so. You never know.
Yeah. If they do it, I would like for them to do it. You know, actually, I think that's big enough of a thing and enough of a game changer that might be something more season finale or season opener-ish, you know?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Right. It's no easy way to do that.
No.
Even though Iris tried.
She sure did. But you know what? That's not her secret to tell. Barry will have to come out when he is ready. He, you know, nobody else is allowed to tell the world about his secret identity.
And yeah, I was kind of, like I said, I was kind of upset with Iris for that. I was like, really? I know we are the Flash. You can't just go. You can't do that. You just can't do that.
Yeah.
Not because of all the practical reasons, but because of your husband's wishes. The man you love, the other half, quote unquote, of the Flash, says, please don't do this because it's important. She's like, you know what? The mechanic was talking crap to me, so I'm going to go out into the bubbling. I was like, what is this?
Oh, but that's our Iris just rushing into a situation without thinking about the consequences.
Bless
good old
her.
Iris. So I had one other, well, probably more than one, but one other qualm about this courtroom thing. When Barry had to, well, yeah, definitely more than one. When Barry, you know, gets the text and he has to leave and the judge tells him that, you know, he can't go because they're in the middle of a trial. And Cecile says, well, it's not illegal for him to leave. You know, he doesn't have to be here for this. And the judge says, well, you've got to be back for sentencing. Assuming he's guilty, judge.
Right.
Come on. A judge can't say that, right?
No.
Right? I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I feel like a judge cannot just assume what the verdict's going to be before it happens.
Yeah. Like, doesn't that influence the jury?
Right. Mistrial, maybe?
Something.
Yeah, that really irked me. That made me so mad. Because, I mean, this judge basically thought he was guilty from the beginning anyway, which I know happens in real life, but, and they could have fixed that with, hey, if there is a guilty verdict, you have to be back for the sentencing. That would have fixed it. But he said, you have to be back for sentencing. That really bothered me.
Yeah, it, kind of a misstep. I mean, I in no way want to say that, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this episode. I enjoyed it. It was good. It wasn't great. But maybe it's simply a matter of these writers aren't good at that particular kind of writing. That I don't know what to say about it. To me, it seems like it's a big glaring thing. Like, what's going on? Maybe it's because I've consumed too much television. Maybe it's because I've seen, you know, Law and Order too many times. I don't know. But
I watched Boston Legal. Speaking of what's his face, Mark Valley, that's his name.
And Joe was on Law and Order, right? So like they should.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, right. These actors should know.
Yeah.
They should know more about courtroom stuff.
It probably wouldn't be so big if the title wasn't The Trial. of the Flash.
That's the thing. This whole episode is called The Trial of the Flash. So give me a trial. This was not a trial. This was a short farce. And it was never going to go any other direction than a guilty verdict. There was no hope at all for our hero in this episode. It was very dismal.
I mean, and I don't want to beat up this episode, because, I mean, I'm not a writer. I'm not writing these episodes, and I don't know that I could have done as well. But it just seems like for something of this nature, they could have taken out the bus meta of the week.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Considering maybe later on the actions that happened with him do serve a purpose, because they didn't in this episode. Mm. But you could have devoted all of that time to really going, this is stupid. Come on. It's Barry. He's the Flash. Cecile's going to get him out. Listen to that. Cecile's tearing up that prosecutor, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then in the end, it's like, yep, guilty. It's like, what? I mean, they could have devoted the time of the meta of the week to fleshing out that trial, and it would have been hopefully better.
I totally agree. That's one of the things I thought as soon as the episode finished. I thought, man, I wish that was just about the trial. But alas, it was not.
We got what we got. Cool.
So yeah, as far as our meta storyline goes, we did get some cool stuff with the rest of the team, with Harry and Cisco and Caitlin doing their thing while the trial was going on. I thought that Cisco and Harry really dropped the ball when they stopped the truck, saw that it was nuclear waste, and went, oh, carry on. Really? You're not going to check it out? You're not going to ask this guy any questions? You're not going to, like, is it normal for this nuclear waste truck to just be driving down this side road? Like, what?
Yeah.
You're just going to leave?
Our lack of understanding of what they were actually doing kind of allowed them to hide behind the fact that they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They had their science talk, their super techie lingo. They were like, you know, there are so many rads that are emitting blah, blah, blah. Now, if that's weird, then the fact that that truck is emitting it should be a sign as well. It's like, wait a second. So why is this truck emitting these rads if that's going to call your attention?
If a truck of that size emits that many rads normally, wouldn't you be noticing more of those? Like, you know, that can't be the only truck with waste in, you know, that you've ever seen in the city. Like, yeah, it seems obviously you're alarmed by the amount of radiation you're seeing. So maybe look into it a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's radiation.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I have a question. Uh-huh. As you mentioned before, the speech at the end, the duality of the judge and the captain's speeches, which was very appropriate, was done very well. I agree. But it was a bit weird. Why is Sing doing that?
Barry did save Sing's life and the rest of those cops when he pulled him away from the radiation, so Sing was directly affected by it. I don't think this is the first time that the Flash has saved Sing. So
the umpteenth time he saved it.
And this isn't the first time the Flash has saved the city from utter ruin. So I don't know. I mean, maybe he just thought, seems like he ought to recognize this superhero right now.
Right now. Right now.
Right just now. Plot. I don't know. Maybe he was reading in the paper about what's going on with the whole vigilante thing over in Oliver Queen's corner of the world. And he thought, well, over here in Central City, we're going to recognize our heroes and give them awards and things.
Like our guys in tights. Yay.
I don't know.
This is just me daydreaming. But I would like to think that Sing either knows or has heavy suspicions.
Yeah, you think so?
No, there's not really evidence.
No.
But to think because of this trial, because of the things that were brought to light, because it was shoved in his face for this whole episode, they're never in the room together, that kind of thing.
Right. Well, that's a question that I have. Are people going to notice the absence of the Flash while Barry's in prison, assuming Barry stays in prison? Right. If he doesn't phase through the walls and break out whenever he wants to.
I mean, and that brings a whole slew of questions. Let's talk about that, because he's taken to Iron Heights. Mm-hmm. But he's not put in the meta division, I don't think.
Well, no, they would have no reason to if they don't suspect that he's the Flash.
So I want to see a couple of episodes of him just like breaking out of jail, doing things, breaking back into jail.
Yeah, I think at some point he will. Like, he'll be reluctant to do it, I think. But I also wonder if he's going to spend a little time in Iron Heights finding out what shady things are happening in Iron Heights. You know, I think we're going to get the Flash storyline in prison, and we're going to get the team outside of prison with our perhaps villains of the week dealing with the Thinker, even, perhaps. Because we know that there's something shady about Wolf, right? We've seen him looking kind of shady a couple of times. Who knows whose side he's on, what his plans are, or if he's just a warden. maybe he knows nothing, but I think he knows something. So I don't know. I think that we're going to see Barry sort of being a detective on the inside of Iron Heights for a little bit. I would like to see that anyway.
Like, I would love to see that. If Barry was... Yeah, no, you're right. That would be great. If he was detecting in Iron Heights, hiding his speedy abilities, while the team takes on metas outside, that would be wonderful. That might not happen.
It might not happen, but it might. Yeah, at some point, I imagine we're going to see him break out, though. The team might need him, but yeah, I think that we will see them working without the Flash a little bit. Oh, wouldn't this be a convenient time for Wally to come back and be a speedster? Maybe do some things.
That would be awesome.
But he's probably in some other continent or something doing, who knows.
Has he moved back from, what was it, Blue Valley?
Well, the last time we heard, he had been in Blue Valley, but then he was in, was it like Cambodia or something?
Yeah, like what?
Yeah, so I don't know. And we have heard, I believe, that he is going to be joining the Legends. So yes. Who knows? He could be anywhere in time and space. But
maybe Jesse?
Maybe Jesse. Maybe. Yeah, I just thought, you know, if the city does notice that the Flash has disappeared and isn't out there saving people anymore.
In light of no one stepping in and Barry opting to moonlight outside of prison as the Flash, it'll be interesting if he gets caught. Because, again, I think I mentioned before on a previous episode, a previous podcast, in the comics, Wolf is a metahuman as well, who likes to torture the metahuman inmates.
Oh, that's right.
It'd be interesting to see if they keep that here, if they keep him a metahuman, or if they keep that attitude, at least, of torturing metahumans. It'd be interesting to see. Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see what's going to go down in Iron Heights.
You know, I'll bet he is a metahuman, and I bet that he is torturing the metahumans that are in the metahuman ward of the prison. I bet we find that out.
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. But we do know, at least for next week, because of the title of next week's episode, The Elongated Night Rises,
that what a wonderful
Disney is going to be stepping up into the superhero shoes. So I think that will be our first episode of the team trying to work without Barry.
Well, you know, and I think, did we even mention the Dibny Joe speech?
No, we didn't. We didn't.
Dibny's been playing a kind of back role. He's been in the background a bit. So much so that we forget he's there sometimes. And that wonderful speech this week, it came out of nowhere.
I was a little bit surprised to see Joe going to those lengths. But then, of course, you know, this is his kid. This is Barry we're talking about. So, of course, he is desperate. And I don't know what he thought he was going to do with those carpet fragments. You know, sprinkled them somewhere. Like, you know, where he planned to put them. But yeah, Dibny's speech, and again, being the voice of reason, who knew? But Dibny? He is speaking from experience. This is exactly why Dibny is no longer a cop. These exact circumstances.
Yeah, that's why I love Joe. I mean, you know, of course he's a family man, that goes without saying. And of course, if his kids are in trouble, then come hell or high water, he's going to do something to help them.
Yeah.
But even in that mind frame, he was like, well, I'll plant carpet fibers. How's that? You know, it's like, aw, Joe.
Yep.
You're just such a good guy.
Has he also forgotten that they have cameras all over their house?
Yeah, I was thinking of that too. That's how I kind of knew that he wasn't going to do anything, because they had just gotten, his son's on trial because he was caught on camera breaking into somebody's house. Yep. You know, like,
like right now he's on trial.
You're so off kilter, Joe, that Dibney is giving you wisdom and advice. Take a step back.
Yeah. You know things are bad when.
Elongated night rises.
Yeah. So I look forward to seeing what they do with Dibney. If they, I know we've both had some issues with the kind of person, kind of character that he has been in the last few episodes that they've actually really used him. So I'm looking forward to perhaps a more grown up Dibney, a little more grounded and, hero like.
You know, I'll skip all that and just settle for a mature one.
There you go.
Yeah. Mature. Well, stay crazy. Stay zany. We need that. You know, that's cool.
He can be zany. I love the little nose wiggle that he gave to Joe. That's great. Yeah, that fun little stuff can stay. But, you know, the kind of crass and misogynistic Dibney can go right away. Just leave all that behind and, grow up.
It's like, cool. We understand that he was a sleazy character like that. Don't bring it back. And give us what we want. What we want for everyone. Redemption.
Yes.
Like, show us this guy becoming freaking hero. Yeah. And of course, Henry Allen was here.
Oh, that's right. I can't decide if that was a cheap shot or, I mean, did they put him in that cell on purpose?
Yes.
100%. Was it Warden Wolf who made that decision to put him in that cell on purpose?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Oh, yes. Warden has control of that whole place. He knows Barry. He knows Barry's story. Everybody does.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. Now, did he do it, like you said, as a stab, as, to try and get at him? Or did he do it as maybe he thought it might have been something comforting? Like, see, your dad was here. I don't know. Maybe.
See, doesn't this feel like home now?
Well, see, things turned out well for his dad in a similar situation, you know? So.
Yeah.
Hope in an odd way? I don't know. But there's no doubt that it had to be the warden. Now it's just, what was his motivations?
Yeah. Otherwise, what are the odds that he would end up in that particular cell?
Yeah, just randomly.
Yeah. Oof. So there's Barry in Iron Heights, life in prison, no parole, which, you know, the way that the judge started his sentencing, he talked about how, you know, he had seen so many horrible people, murderers, and, you know, and this man stood apart. And I thought, right, because he's such a nice guy, right? That's why he stood apart, because he's innocent and he's good. But then he turned it and said, you know, he used this trust to commit this horrendous, violent act, and life in prison, no parole. Like, I was just like, wow, that is harsh. That is really, really harsh.
You know what? I liked that, and I thought it was very appropriate. On the first watch, I was like, woo, okay, that's life, no parole. You really screwed the pooch on this one, buddy. And when I saw it the second time, I was like, wait a second, listen to exactly what he's saying. The judge is so correct. If we look at this from a juror standpoint, purely a juror standpoint, Barry Allen is the face of evil.
Yeah, and he had no defense, so, you know,
and didn't
he
didn't care about it. He was like, you know what, judge, I don't even care. I got to go. Somebody needs me. I got something to do. I'll see you when you decide to throw the book at me. If you do, I don't care. I'm burying Helen out. You know, I was like, what? Dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's a good point. I am having a really hard time looking at this from the jury's perspective, because it's just all so absurd to me. You know,
his face was one of complete apathy. He was like, judge, throw my hands up. I don't know. I'm innocent. He says, you know, everything that he presented to the judge was like, really? Okay, sure. Why not? I'm not showing you any emotions. I'm not showing you remorse. I'm not showing you joy. I'm not showing you anger. I'm not showing you anything. I'm a psychopath.
Now, to be fair, defendants are, in real life, actually coached usually to try not to be too emotional in court because you don't want to come off one way or another. So in that way, I thought it was actually kind of accurate to life, Barry being stoic and non-emotional about all of it. The rest of everybody else behind him, of course, you know, Iris and Joe and everybody has their just faces of disgust when Marlise is up on the stand. And yeah. they're not hiding anything. But yeah, Barry kept it together and, like I said, maybe a little too calm and collected through this whole thing. But he has faith that he's going to make it through somehow. And if all else fails, he can just phase through the walls of the prison and leave.
Yeah, that's right. See, that's part of the problem. I think in the back of his head, he was like, I'm not worried. A, I'm not really going to jail because I can get out when I want. B, that jerk is still alive.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So he had a hard time summoning up that face to put on. You know, he was like, yeah, I know. It'll all be over eventually. Yeah, I don't know. If I were a judge, that would drive me mad as well. I just want to touch on one more point really quick.
Sure.
So all of Earth 15 is dead? Are you sure? I mean...
Well, it is now.
We're definitely certain. Oh, wait, yes, it is. Because you just sent a nuclear bomb.
Right. If it wasn't, it is now dead.
And you are remembering exactly the coordinates of Earth 15, right? Don't get it wrong. Don't actually send it to Earth 16.
Right? Let's hope that he actually knows what he's doing.
Like, what about, I don't know, say space?
Yeah.
I mean, just put it out in space or something, or just away. Don't send it to another planet. That's horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd forgotten about that. And I was thinking, you know.
Next season on The Flash. From Earth 15 come radioactive supervillains. Here to destroy Vibe and Harry Wells.
Yes, I want to see that. I want that to happen. I love consequences from innocent actions. That's good stuff. And these guys, oh man. I saw on the Facebook, in the Facebook group, someone asked, isn't Earth 15 the Earth that, what were we calling him?
Mad Maxwell's.
Mad Maxwell's. isn't that his Earth? I don't remember
which Earth he was from, but I would hope that that's not the one because otherwise they have just killed him.
Right. Yeah. Like, I know the place already has radiation, but come on. They don't need extra.
Right.
Who knows? Who knows? What a wacky show. I love it.
Well, why don't we read a little bit of feedback?
Excellent. That sounds like a wonderful idea. I think I've got some feedback here from Kimby73. Kimby73 says, I must say, I was disappointed with this episode in general. There were some things I liked about it, of course. I was not that impressed after such a long wait for the return. I wish I could say I was surprised by the outcome of the trial, as I was hoping Singh or someone would figure out he was the Flash and come forward to say so. Not Iris. I knew he would stop her. There was no defense at all. I mean, come on. No one questioned why Clifford was at his apartment. No one questioned where Barry was. He was at Joe's and was alerted by the alarm. Could anyone not have testified to that? Okay, maybe I'm overreacting, but I was not happy that there wasn't a defense. Also, the jury buying the fact that Clifford found someone for Marlise to lean on after his death? Did she know he was going to be murdered? I mean, yes, after his death to ALS, it would be understandable, but after such a brutal murder, I would think she wouldn't move on so quickly. To me, this would be a red flag as a juror, but hey, I know Barry is innocent. Okay, so the things I liked about this episode, Dibny really understanding what Joe was trying to do and basically talking him out of it without telling him not to do it by using his experience with the same thing. Barry stopping Iris in the courtroom. Love that power to control him and her. Barry stopping the radioactive guy. Then Singh commending the Flash for his valor. Again, too bad he doesn't know it's Barry under that mask.
Or does he?
Or does he? Yeah, I think he's getting inkling. All in all, I don't hate the episode, but I really wasn't thrilled either. I would give it 7 out of 10 puppies needing saved by Killer Frost.
All the puppies. Yeah, I agree with you on so much of that. And I had sort of forgotten about the alarm thing too. You know, the alarm company would have a record of the alarm. And if Barry had been in the apartment, and I guess they could say that Barry had set the alarm to go off to cover the fact that he had, you know, wasn't there, whatever. But, you know, everybody else saw where Barry was. He was with them. He was at Star Labs and he was at Joe's house. So yeah, there were a whole lot of witnesses that placed him not at his apartment.
Way too many.
Yep. Like a lot.
For an extremely valid reason. It is the holidays. I am having my holiday party, party.
Yeah.
With family, with my friends. I mean, this is so much, so much. Okay, here we go again. Okay, yes, we totally agree with Kimby.
Thank you, Kimby, for your feedback. We have another feedback from the last episode, Don't Run. And this was sent to us by a feedbacker with my favorite name, Sir Kitten Love. Hello again, Sir Kitten Love. And Sir Kitten Love has to say, hello, Central City Underground. After last week's incredible crossover event, we have an episode that I think topped it. It was the best mid-season finale, in my opinion. Barry got a new power in teleportation. I know it's supposed to be fast vibrating, but come on, it's totally teleportation. I love how Clifford DeVoe has had this all planned out from the beginning, and it all just seems plausible. Having Amunet capture Dominic to transfer DeVoe's consciousness into him was amazing. Having Iris actually make the decision of rescuing Barry or Caitlin as the leader was great character development. I think that framing Barry for the murder of Clifford DeVoe was brilliant, and I wonder how they're going to get out of this mess. Well, they aren't for now. Right. I do have one problem with the episode, and that's that they had DeVoe capture Barry out in the streets on Christmas. Do you really think nobody would have seen him? Anyways, overall, amazing episode. Gonna have to wait till it comes back from the mid-season break. That's it, guys. See you in a couple of months. Thank you, Sir Kitten Love.
Kitten Love. Yeah, that's great.
And I think we did talk about a couple of those things, especially DeVoe capturing Barry out in the street. Now, they were in an alley, so maybe they were out of sight of some people, but DeVoe has never really seemed that concerned with getting caught out in the open.
Yeah, you know, things like that. Sometimes I just say, my headcanon is DeVoe's smart. Yeah. DeVoe was like, you know what? There's not going to be anybody around. Maybe he had trackers or sensors to make sure there was no one out there and he knew to be. Yeah.
He has calculated the probability of getting caught and it is low enough that he's going to risk it.
It must be pretty low, yeah, because he's not in his wheelchair. He's in his meta chair, whatever that weird contraption is. Thank you, Sir Kitten Love. That was great.
All right. Well, before we go today, there was an exciting new thing that happened in the Arrowverse. I guess, is it the Arrowverse? Are they included in?
Well, this is what I'm excited about because it is definitely in the multiverse, I believe. I'm not certain.
Okay.
There's been no proof, but from what I understand, that it's in the multiverse, so there's a possibility of there being some interaction between our favorite DC CW TV heroes and the latest addition to the group, Black Lightning.
Awesome. So I know you have seen the premiere aired after The Flash, and you have some thoughts about it.
I do. It was really good. I really think the Black Lightning is going to be a great addition to the DC CW universe. Even if it's a while before they do any kind of interactions or mentioning of characters we know, or even if they don't ever, just having it in the group, I think is a good idea. I thought it was a great show. It gave us yet a new hero. Yay, we all love that. Eventually, it will give us three new heroes. It's a show about a principal who's a retired superhero and his daughters, who are young ladies that are becoming women into their own, and they will eventually discover their powers.
Okay. Much like
Father Black Lightning, they'll be called into heroism.
Cool.
It's a really good premise. I really liked it. It's very different from the rest of the CW shows. It's grittier.
Okay.
It's grittier. Well, most things are grittier than The Flash.
Is it Arrow gritty or grittier than that?
It's grittier than Arrow, only because it's more grounded than Arrow.
Okay.
Which is weird. Arrow being powerless and being the Arrowverse's flagship, quote unquote, grounded show.
Sure.
That has been Arrow's territory. With this, this is very interesting. I really like it because it touches issues in a way that I don't believe Arrow and Flash do quite as well. And I know it's only been one episode, so hopefully they keep this momentum going because they did it very well in this episode. But they spoke of, you know, gang violence, violence in our schools, personal freedoms, personal assault and stuff like that. A lot of current issues that aren't so broad. A lot of times our heroes will deal with issues like nuclear war. That's bad. There's ways we can change this and stop it and stuff. So, yeah. But I'm a kid and this guy is beating me up every day. How do I deal with this? What do I do with this? And it feels like this show might be something like that. I really loved it, of course, because it's Black Lightning, an old school black hero. That's awesome. Great. Another hero of color. Taking the forefront, it was really good. It was done well. It was done respectfully. The music was good. Actually, I didn't quite like the suit all that much now that I saw it in action and everything. It was interesting. It was a little too bulbous. It was a little too, weird. But that would probably really actually be the only thing that I didn't like about the show. I liked it that much.
Awesome. Because I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, you should definitely check it out. I recommend everyone checking it out. We did a live discussion this week on our Facebook page for Central City Underground, just as an introduction, just to say, hi, Black Lightning, welcome to the family. I'm not sure where we're going to do discussions later. I might make a page later and start a whole new group for that.
Cool.
But I think everyone else that was there that participated in the discussion enjoyed it as well. So this could be another great addition to our little CWDC family.
All right. Excellent.
One more thing. What gives me hope about possibly crossovers or mentions of other things is it was a throwaway line that was in a news segment on the show talking about, well, this is crazy. All these heroes around here doing all these things. And then it went on to talk more about the show, but it mentioned there being other heroes, and it's a DC, and it's directly DC in the DC universe. So we might have a chance to use this to see heroes that we haven't seen or can't see in the other shows. I would love for them to do that, use this show as a vehicle to do that. But it's very interesting, very well written. The actors were good. It'll be very, very interesting to see where this goes. I recommend it for all of us.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for giving us a little report on it. And yes, as soon as I have some time to catch up on the rest of this week's CW shows, it's going to be at the top of my list because I am excited for some new blood in the CW DC universe. And excellent.
Good. I mean, you should. This is new blood. It feels different than the rest. And good. In a good way. So.
All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. We are in it for the long haul now, with the 10th episode under our belts of season 4. So join us next week for episode 11, The Elongated Night Rises. See what Dibny's up to. Find us on the Central City Underground Facebook page. You can find us on Twitter at TheFlashGSM. And send us your feedback. We want to hear what you think about The Flash. We will see you next week. This is Julia.
And this is Jada.
Signing off.
Good night, guys.
Goodbye.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.